Chapter 6. The horse died under him just before dawn. Thereafter, the animus kept Shait running through the twilight, almost matching the pace of the animal it had driven to a foamy death. If there was a record time for the trip from the grey mountains to Altdorf, Shait would beat it. No imperial messenger could best his stamina, his resolve, his purpose. Shait's feet were bleeding in his boots, and his joints popped with each step, but the animus ignored its host's pain. As long as Shait's skeleton and musculature were mostly intact, it could keep going. If the cleric of Sulcan wore out, the animus would just find another host. The road passed under his pounding feet as the sun rose. Shait was lagging behind the animus, ceding control of the body, slumping into occasional dozes, during which his consciousness would shrink, giving the creature inside him a clearer hold on the world, a more acute vision of the things around. They were already out of the mountains and into the Reichwald forest. The road ran straight, bounded by tall evergreens. Shait's feet struck holes in the ground mist. His footbeats and laboured breathing were the only sounds in earshot. Ahead, the animus saw a small figure, set side-saddle on a pony, proceeding slowly down the road. It was a plump, middle-aged woman in the robes of a priestess of Shalia. In the countryside, priestesses often passed from village to village, exercising the healing arts, delivering babies, ministering to the sick. Shait caught up with the pony and pulled the priestess from her perch. She struggled, and he snapped a right angle into her spine, tossing her into a roadside ditch. The pony bent under his unaccustomed weight, and he dug in his heels like spurs. The animal wouldn't last the morning, but would give him speed.
"My shoes," the girl said.
"Shoes?"
"It's snowing. I can't go into the streets without my fur shoes."
The girl stood up to him, growing in stature, unbending her body, squaring her shoulders. There was a dab of red paint on her cheek, a graze from earlier. He made and unmade fists, then slipped one meaty hand into his studded metal glove. It was an impressive prop.
"Hurry away, Nita, my dove," he sneered, the false teeth bulging and deforming his mouth. "Your Mr. Chaida has an important appointment. We can't have trash like you lying about while we entertain a lady."
"My shoes."
It was the third night. Eva Savinian was even better than in the last two performances. Ilona was much improved, but she was still outshone. It was almost eerie. This didn't come from him, Detlef knew. It was something inside the girl, blossoming like a flower. She moved on the stage, towards the lights. He hadn't directed her in that. In her position, the audience's attention would be focused. He was pushed into the shadows behind, if he was to hit his mark and strike his blow. Clever girl.
"I'll give you shoes," he said,
following her, raising his glove. He wondered if anyone had been teaching little Eva how to steal a stage. She was becoming an adept thief. Squeezing the bladder of stage blood, he brought his hand down, thumping her from behind, bursting the sack. She fell, not to the boards, but to her knees. Seeing an opportunity, she was seizing it. Blood dribbling down her beautiful face, she looked out into the audience for a long, silent moment, then fell on her face. Now that was over, he'd have to take back the scene. From box 7, the trapdoor demon saw his pupil perform and was pleased. Through Eva, he could reach an audience again, could make them feel joy, despair, love, hate. He hadn't been so excited by a discovery for many seasons. Her new death scene was masterly, an unforgettable moment. Now the scene was Nita's, not Chaida's. The audience would remember the play as the story of a street girl's downfall, not of a cleric's double nature. He was too rapt to join the applause that exploded from the house when Eva Savinian came to take her curtain call. Flowers were conveyed to the stage. The company joined the applause. Even Detlef Siak tipped a salute to her. She was modest, bowing only slightly. Exhausted by the performance, she had no more to give. She'd discharged her obligation to the audience and knew how to take its praise. She'd have to be cultivated properly. A play would have to be found for her, a suitable vehicle. She might need a patron as well as a tutor. When they hailed her, they would be doing the trapdoor demon honour. The girl brushed past Genevieve on the way to her dressing room, an attendant carrying her flowers behind her. Eva Savinian had never spoken with her beyond the demands of conventional pleasantry. Genevieve assumed she was wary of vampires.
"That's a fine creature," Detlef said, wiping his paint-smeared face. "A fine creature indeed."
She nodded agreement.
"She took that scene from me as you'd take a toy from a toddler. It's a long time since anyone's done that."
"How do you think Ilona feels?" Detlef was pensive, his knit frown dislodging the slabs of makeup that made Chaida's brows beetle. Eva was back in her dressing room now, alone. "She spends a lot of time in her room, doesn't she? Do you think Eva has a jealous lover?" He considered the point and spat out Chaida's false teeth into his hand.
"No. I think she's a devout worshipper at the Shrine of Self, Jene. She spends her spare time improving herself."
"Is she improved?"
"In herself, yes. I don't know if the company will be happy to work with her much longer."
"I understand she has had other offers. There were flowers tonight from Lutze at the Imperial Taradash Players." Detlef shrugged.
"Of course. The theatre is a nest of vultures. Eva is a tasty morsel."
"Very," she said, a twinge of red thirst in her tongue.
"Je n'ai," Detlef scolded.
"Don't worry," she said. "She'd have thin blood, I think."
"Lutze won't get her. She'd have to apprentice for years to get anywhere near a lead. I'll find something for her after Dr. Zykil and Mr. Chaida concludes its run."
"She'll stay?"
"If she's as clever as I think. A duel needs a setting, and this is the best company in Altdorf. She won't want to be Lily Nissen, surrounded by fifth-rate hams to make her look good. She needs the challenge of an excellence that forces her to rise."
"Detlef, do you like her?"
"She's the best young actress in seasons."
"But do you like her?"
His shoulders shifted. "She's an actress, Genet. A good one. Possibly a great one. That's all."
"You don't have to like her to see that." A stifled sob caught Genevieve's attention. By the stage door, Reinhardt was shaking Ilona. They were arguing, and Ilona was in distress. It was easy to deduce the subject of their dispute. Papa Fritz shoved past the couple, bowed under the weight of a vast basket of flowers. Reinhardt pulled Ilona to him and tried to calm her crying with a hug.
"It's this play," Detlef said. "It's making us find out things about ourselves we might prefer not to know."
The darkness was in his eyes.